Welcome, everybody. It's March 2025. Nope. Well, yeah, March okay. Here.
I'm sorry. That's my bad. Let's try again.
Welcome, everybody. It's May already.
Can't believe it.
Almost 5/12 of the way through a year.
Whoa, don't say that. Much.
31 days in May. Big month. Good stuff. So it's May, and we're back with another episode of Dan Has a Plan Beyond the Balance Sheet. I'm Daniel B. Smith, a financial advisor on the Family Wealth Management team at UBS Financial Services. Our branch is located in Paramus, New Jersey, and I can be reached by email at daniel.b.smith@ubs.com. I'm joined by my daughter, Alana Jacqueline, or Alana J. Smith.
Whoa, you revealed what the J stands for.
Ooh, yes.
It's been a mystery up until now.
Our guest today is Glenn Bickford. Glenn is a senior project manager at a local water company here in New Jersey, and he's here to talk about all things electricity. Glenn is not affiliated with UBS Financial Services, and his views are his own. The Glenn Bickford.
Glenn is a master electrician.
He is.
Okay, so what made you want to talk about electricity?
Well, people think of electricity as their electric bill every month.
That's what I think about it as.
But when you're a financial planner, you see other things that have to be devoted to electricity.
Interesting.
From a budget perspective. So I'm going to name three things for you today.
Okay.
That maybe you hadn't thought about, but
I'm sure I haven't.
I've encountered multiple times.
Okay, number one?
People buy houses.
They do.
And they do what's called a home inspection.
Right, yes.
And most of the times with these home inspections, it's, you know, is the roof leaking? Is the plumbing up to date? Do they have a smoke alarm?
Pretty obvious stuff.
They really need to hone in more on the electrical capability of the house.
Okay.
To make sure it's A, up to code, and B, is conducive to the lifestyle that you want to live.
Because otherwise they'll end up paying more money.
That is correct.
Down the line. Have you seen people just like hemorrhage money when they have an inspection that doesn't cover electricity?
I have. You know, having done this for a long time, it's a topic of discussion I at least have 5 times a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not a pleasant one.
Okay, second thing.
Second thing is we're in the superstorm
era.
Yeah, I guess it's the era, right? And people are without electricity a lot.
Yeah.
The generator business has really blossomed because of this. And generators are not cheap. So the safest way to run your house is with electricity.
Right.
And if you lose it, you want to have a generator. So the cost of a generator should be put into a financial plan.
Yeah. Are you recommending this to people more and more?
I talk to them about it. I never tell any client they have to do anything. Okay.
Yeah.
But I have asked clients, you know, do you have a generator? Particularly clients who are more elderly, mm-hmm. live on their own. And or if they're young families, so you have young kids, babies, you want to make sure you have electricity.
Yeah.
Okay. The kind of the middle area can navigate through some inconvenience, but.
What are you saying?
Well, just saying. Tough it up, Alana.
I did lose power the other day in the middle of the day, and it was so not a big deal. So I don't even know what I'm pushing back about. I was like, all right, if my phone runs out of charge, I live in a city, I'll just go to a coffee shop or something. So privilege right there.
And the third thing is a lot of people I know have electric cars and they're putting in charging stations. And again, these are not cheap.
From a financial perspective, having an electric car, not necessarily as cost effective as they might advertise.
Well, I don't want to get into a whole discussion. Should you get an electric car or should you not? That's certainly a personal choice. But I think the perception is that having an electric car is cheaper. It is cheaper from not having to use gas. Do I think it's better for the environment? Yes. On the flip side, you have to charge it.
Right.
And with electric cars in general, they're heavier because they have the batteries are very heavy. So tire wear is quicker. Okay.
Interesting.
So there are some costs, even though you're not getting engine tune up, but you may have to go through more tires than you would with a normal car. There's pros and cons. Okay. Mm-hmm. I am slowly erring. I would probably want to get an electric car with my next purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how far the industry has come. But for this episode, you know, Glenn talks about neighborhoods feeding into one transformer, and transformers are blowing because people have all these electric cars and the transformer doesn't have enough capacity to handle the charge.
Yeah, we're not equipped.
You know, these are things that are changing in our life. You know, these are things I talk to people about. I was trying to think of an electrical experience that I've had.
Okay, well, we told mine on the pod, so it's only fair.
Well, as I've said in the past, I think on a past episode, I was a volunteer fireman in college. And the most dangerous fire I ever went to was a TV repair shop.
Whoa.
That caught on fire.
In Ithaca?
In Ithaca. It was an electrical fire. Obviously, the TV sets were blowing up and live wires everywhere. It was a very dangerous situation. There was a lot of electrical feeds in there. I garnered a new respect for electricity right then and there.
Yeah, you don't unsee that.
That was scary.
I have an active imagination and I can't unsee that. And I wasn't there. So,
yes.
All right. Well, on that uplifting note.
Lana J. Smith, we are going to now speak to the Glenn Bickford.
Here we go.
So Glenn Bickford, welcome.
Welcome, Glenn.
Thank you so much.
Alana, we are in the presence of a licensed electrician.
Okay, something I know nothing about.
So Glenn, I want to start off with the basics today. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
How do you describe electricity?
Well, electricity is very dangerous. It can kill you with 5 to 10 milliamps.
Wow. Okay, so high stakes. High yes. stakes situation. And yet we encounter it every day.
Yes, we do.
It
we
is
do.
A necessity.
I always want to ask an electrician this. When we talk about lightning,
it is an electrical charge.
I spent a lot of time on the golf course.
Don't raise your
club
putter.
In the air.
Don't raise the one iron. So where is the safest place to be in a thunderstorm?
Inside.
Anything inside? In a house? Is a car safe?
I mean, it is safe. One of the times that a car is not safe is when a wire hits the ground. Just say a lightning hit the wire and the wire is on the ground going.
You know,
what they teach us, actually, this was a fire department. I was a volunteer fire department a couple of years. They teach you to hop.
Okay, wait. So you're hopping from foot to foot or you're keeping
2 feet together?
2 feet together. Oh, as opposed to walking. I see what you're saying. So your feet are not always on the ground?
You're not going through your heart, because if this right foot is ahead and the left foot is going here and they maintain, it has this circuit go through you.
Whoa, this is a pro tip.
That is a pro tip.
This is a minor question, but you know when you're like bopping around your house and there's like static electricity, mm-hmm. maybe you're shuffling around and then you touch something, like your phone is plugged in or something. Can that ever get dangerous, or are we just not good conductors?
No, it doesn't have the ampacity is what makes that dangerous.
What does that mean?
It's the current. Just having something very tiny make a connection like a 9-volt battery.
Sometimes it hurts.
It hurts, but it didn't kill you.
Yeah. You know what's crazy too is I don't think about electricity and water together. Obviously, I think of them as utilities that I pay every month.
So people think that water comes from the sky, jumps into the pipes, and gets out into the, wherever it has to go.
Yes, I do think that.
It's intricate with divisions and water pressure and everything else. When you get a power failure or something goes wrong or main break and the hospital's calling you up and said, I have somebody on the table. I need water.
Wow.
And that has happened.
Oh, wow.
A lot of the buildings are elevated, multiple stories. That needs extra pressure to get up to the top.
Defy gravity.
So just to take a step back, Glenn has worked for the Hackensack Water Company, which turned into Veolia Water Company. So he knows when we talk water and electricity, he's the man.
There's so much we don't know.
This is true.
Specifically me and you.
Exactly. So is it a good idea to have an electrical safety assessment of where you're living? For example, let's say I'm buying a house. A lot of people do home inspections. Do the home inspectors hone in on electricity ordinarily?
I've seen inspectors come through and they're checking railings. They're doing all kinds of stuff like that for safety. And the people are paying for this. And I've seen some really, really bad inspectors, because you come in there and they're saying, hey, I saw that and that was a little brown, that outlet. Somebody had something overloaded, a heater, anything that has a high capacity amperage could overheat. We have to be careful with that. What circuit is it on? Is it a 15 amp circuit, which would be the lowest, a 20 amp? That would be for like microwaves. So that's where it comes into play.
When I bought this house in 1990, it was a small cape. It had one electrical service for the cottage.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had an addition, it had a different set of service. And then we did another addition. At that point, everything had to be kind of commingled. Is it common for houses to have more than one electrical box?
Well, generally, it's according to how much you have to run.
Okay.
And where you have to run it to and from. I'm doing the house. We replaced the main panel. Now he's doing his kitchen. So where I want to put the second panel board is 30, 40 feet from the other panel.
Okay.
taking all those circuits and running them one at a time alone up to the kitchen does not make sense. So what we do is we put a sub panel closer to where we need the power.
Gotcha. So again, so many questions I have.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
You remember Hurricane Sandy?
Oh, yeah.
And I was without power for 2 weeks, as a lot of people were. So that forced my hand to go to a generator. Mm-hmm. It's just not as easy as calling up Generac and say, hey, plop it in the yard and we're good to go.
Yeah, how does a generator work?
So first of all, you have your main electrical service. If you want to have a generator, you need to have a transfer switch. I am going to take that power, run it through my transfer switch day to day.
So it's always ready.
Yep. All of a sudden, the power goes out. No utility power. The generator now, it starts up on its own and it transfers whatever services you have given, whatever circuits you're using. Because most of the time, you don't take a whole house generator.
Yeah, it's more partial.
Yeah, it'd be huge and ridiculous. They do the main things to get you through.
How's it run?
Gas. Gasoline, propane. Those are the two major.
Or natural gas?
Yeah, the natural gas is popular. But it doesn't really have the ampacity as much as a regular gasoline generator.
So the ways of producing your electric could be hydroelectric, windmills, coal?
Yes, but trying to get away from that.
Why is that? Oh, environment, yeah.
Environment. Okay. Any other big ones that I've missed?
Solar.
Oh, solar. Mm. So Alana J. Smith, are you going to share with Glenn your hotel story?
Oh, no. This is so embarrassing.
This is a good story, Glenn.
Okay. Well, we were traveling for a family wedding, and my sister and I were sharing a room together, and we were getting ready, and I said, should I wear this jacket or this jacket? And she said, oh, I like this one. I said, okay, well, I have to iron it. So I plug in the iron. Sparks come out right away. So I went, oh, no. Okay. I unplug it. I put it down and I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on with this one. Move on. And then I see from behind the bed smoke. I was like, that seems like a lot for some sparks coming out of an iron. And I go and investigate. A fire had started in the outlet that was in the wall because I had put the plug in an alarm clock, which I'm now learning did not have the voltage to handle the iron. But it was the only, in my defense, if there is one. It was the only outlet visible to me. So I took the iron from the hotel, plugged it into the alarm clock sitting on the nightstand. It started to spark, but not from the alarm clock, from the wall outlet that the alarm clock was plugged into. So this fire starts. Now, I don't know how to put out an electrical fire. Water? No, right?
No.
Yeah, that's a no. Okay. No. So that wasn't working. So we learned that quickly. We go and get some help and no one is panicking hard enough for me. And then finally we get someone to pay attention and they very slowly hand me a fire extinguisher. And I go to use it and I can't get the pin out. I've never used one before.
Okay.
Also, I don't know how old this thing is. Like I really couldn't get it out. So then I run for help again. Meanwhile, like there's a fire in the room now. And also, let me just say, it's a family wedding. So like all of my loved ones are in this hotel. Every last one. It's a nightmare. So then we get someone to come in and the room is filling up with smoke very fast. They use the fire extinguisher, I guess, enough, and then call the fire department very quickly. They had to come. They put it out. But when we went back in the room, I mean, luckily everybody was safe. Everyone was evacuated. Also, I come outside and I'm like fully dressed. No one else is. So everyone's going to be late for this wedding that I've just almost ruined. Someone drove up and was like, what happened? Did you start the fire? And I went, yeah, I did. I started this fire. Again, luckily everyone was safe, but when we went back into the room, it was like a bed had never been there, just torched.
Wow. Well, I mean, as the current comes through, I'm sure that there were more than one receptacle on that circuit. If you have a circuit on this wall, this wall, this wall, and it's the same circuit, if that becomes overheated, whether it be a loose connection in the outlet, and then somebody puts something, an iron, toaster oven, something like that, it could start heating up enough to get a fire.
Are you telling me that it wasn't my fault? That how would I have known? I'm dying for this.
Well, plugging into a clock is...
not a good idea.
Yeah, it's not really made for that.
Okay. All right. So it is my fault still. All right. That's fine.
Well, my daughter-in-law has a two-family house in Jersey City, and she had a tenant there. They had a fish tank there.
Okay.
And it started a fire because they had this heater on the circuit. And when I got there, the wall was blackened. Mm-hmm. I don't use as many plastic boxes as they're using now is old plastic. I'm an old timer. I always use metal boxes. Metal boxes would hold that flame or fire or heat there. When you have something like that and you see that, it could have really gotten bad.
Yeah, it could have gotten really bad. It can just happen so fast. So if there is an electrical fire, what do you do?
Run.
Run. Okay.
No.
I basically did that. So.
You should get out of the house.
So you can't put it out with water if it's small.
No, you don't put it out with water. Like I said, there's fire extinguishers for that.
Okay.
And they have certain chemicals and there's various one for wood, CO2.
But if you don't have a fire extinguisher nearby, is there anything else you can do in the meantime to prevent it from getting out of control?
No.
No. Okay. All right.
If the wall is on fire, first of all, if you see flames, 911. Get somebody there that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
If you're in a hotel, make sure you see where the fire extinguishers are. It's the biggest
thing. I never not. I'm scarred for life.
Get that pin up.
Yeah, we should all practice. Okay, thanks for embarrassing me.
So, Glenn, I see a lot of electrical strips.
Power strips.
Power strips, thank you.
We have them in here.
Are they a good deterrent to overloading, say, an outlet?
No.
They're a bad deterrent.
There's another wives' tale I heard.
No, because it just distributes. You're taking this light, that light, this heater, this whatever, iron, and somebody will plug into it and it would overheat. I don't totally agree with this, but they're telling you not to keep your chargers for your phones and stuff in there. You unplug them when not using them.
Yeah, I had that question too. Like appliances and things, just unplug them when you're not using them, like a toaster.
Again, it's an appliance that is not having current drawn through. It's not a problem. I pull them out anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a Jewish mother. We pull them out anyway. Yeah, we're just going to be careful. Yeah.
But the circuit that it's in should be a 20 amp circuit that wouldn't handle it.
Okay. I guess, yeah, you got to look at those tags.
A lot of my clients have electric cars now. Mm. Okay. You know, I get the concept of the electric car, but I'm more talking about charging the electric car. Okay. One of the deterrents of me buying one, I couldn't get the concept of pulling my car up to my garage and plugging it in overnight. It didn't give me a warm, fuzzy feeling. I mean, is that too much fear or is it more of you can do it if you have the right outlet and capacity to do that? There
is your fear that something would go wrong, a fire would start.
Yeah. The safety part of it is part of what gives me angst.
It's according to which type of charger you have. They make them that are small. You plug them in like you plug in a lamp, but it takes days to get charged. I just did a charging station for a person in his garage and it's 48 amps. Let's just say four toasters on the same line.
Okay.
I like putting it in terms of toasters.
Good analogy, Glenn. So
this gentleman, he wanted to charge it quickly. So you have to manage that. It's the capacity and how fast you want to charge.
So a 48 amp charging station in a garage, what is the capital outlay for something like that?
Around $1,000 to get it installed in your house.
Okay. So I don't hear the auto dealers leading with that card.
And also your bill goes up too?
Oh, yeah. You're saving gas, but your electric bill is going to be tremendous.
A dear friend of mine has solar energy and he has electric cars. So he generates energy with the solar to save him costs on the electricity and obviously the gas costs on the car. So he's kind of got it figured out, but that's a big expense when you talk to people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they put solar panels on the house. You have to have a 48 amp charging station.
If you want it to be a quick charge.
Yeah, a quick charge. But, you know, in society today, I'm thinking people want it quicker rather than 2 or 3 days. And then obviously there's the cost of the car.
The grid is not ready for everybody to have
an
electric car.
Yeah.
Wow.
What would it take, do you think?
Well, I was doing electrical service at a house. PSE&G was coming down the street. I said, what are you guys doing? Well, this one's got an electric car. That one's got an electric car. That one's got an electric car. And they had to put a new transformer in.
Is this enough overload where the transformer can blow and then they're out?
Yes.
The neighborhood's out.
Yes. My transformer at my house is a 25 kVA. It feeds 5 houses.
I get the math now.
We had someone come on to talk about college and trade schools and kind of how people are investing more in becoming electricians, plumbers,
absolutely,
these things that we totally need. Do you want to talk a little bit about the need for it?
Of course. Well, my son, he's a paid fireman.
Oh. Know?
Okay. Oh. So, and at night and weekends, he works with me. My oldest son is an electrician. He works in Brooklyn.
So are there some financial incentives to becoming an electrician?
Yes. Electrical, plumbing, carpentry is a lost art. can't get people.
Where I grew up was central upstate New York. If your plumbing wasn't working right, or if you had an electrical problem, something needed to be done, well, we did it, okay? Because my dad was a plumber. His brother was an electrical engineer. His other brother was a farmer, used to fixing things. And then if they couldn't do it, they knew people, so it was like a bartering thing. So now I live in suburbia, and I have alliances with people in the trades because it could just make your life miserable. From a consumer standpoint, you have to treat them right. Offer them something to drink or eat, making sure that you're not emotional when something's going on. They're doing the best they can. You know, not looking at every item on the bill and say, hey, how come you charge me for this? Look at the big picture, I always say, because it's like anything. If you want that person to come back one day and you like their service, you know, you can't spit in the food, as they say. The need is massive. To go through the education process of an electrician, how did you navigate that?
I did some schooling.
Like a trade school?
Yeah, trade school. I had somebody sign off on my electrical license because I was working for them. You work for them for 5 years. You put in so much time and you are able to take a test.
And what is the continuing education for you? Do you have to go through
every 3 years? Okay. I have to go through 35 hours of training. It's coming around, I think.
Well, because college has gotten so astronomical.
Right.
So I think people are looking for other ways and we're not being taught these skills.
So let's pick on Alana for a minute.
Okay. Yeah.
So you went K through 12.
I did.
Were you exposed to plumbing, electrical, carpentry?
Absolutely not. I didn't even know water and electricity were connected. I'm absolutely in the dark. I would be in, I was in such trouble when an electric fire happened.
Yeah. When I went to school, we had to take a class in wood shop. We had a guy who was a tinsmith. There's Dan Smith, but there's a tinsmith. But
that's HVAC stuff.
Yeah. And like I learned how to rivet.
Yeah. Listen, the other thing is that we had woodshop, but girls aren't encouraged to take an interest in things like this. You know, I do think it's changing, but that wasn't the focus. I can barely hang a picture on a wall. So that's where we're at.
Yeah.
But I would argue that plumbing and electricity are the most important because, like you said, during the hurricane, there's so many natural disasters now. Like people were without power for so long with the LA fires and the hurricanes in North Carolina.
Those poor people.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Well, you talk about Sandy, and here I am at work, and I stayed overnight. I slept on the floor.
Wow.
The wind was so hard that it blew through the glass glazing. The whole floor was wet.
Wow.
We had telephone poles like toothpicks all the way down Sunset Avenue. It was weeks before they could get people there. You know, at least we can pick up the pieces and go, and our houses are intact. But you get people like, they lose everything. They don't even have a pair of shoes probably or a t-shirt. I just can't even imagine the depth of that.
Yeah.
No, it's good perspective to say there are things that we can fix and as long as we're safe.
And that's where the emergency fund comes in, which is the budget. I always say, you know, it's just not getting the four tires in the car. It's a little water in the basement. Maybe you got to put in a charging station for your new car. I mean, these are things that you don't think about that just maybe happen. Electricity, electricians, you know, you have my tip of the hat here. Well, this has been an interesting discussion on electricians, electricity, and the life and times of Glenn Bickford.
Yes. Thank you for what you do.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, we really appreciate you, Glenn.
Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
That is the Glenn Bickford, electrician extraordinaire. So I took a lot away from that episode.
Yeah, about how great I am at starting electrical fires.
Well, that was a given.
Oh, not my finest moment.
One of the very interesting things he said was, how about hopping at an electrical fire?
Yeah. Yeah. Why isn't everyone talking about that?
I know a lot of firemen. One of them's nickname is Hoppy, but Hoppy never told me to hop.
Okay. I think we got to confront Hoppy about the nickname.
Hoppy doesn't know it yet, but he's coming on the podcast. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, things like water pressure.
Yeah.
How electricity is so important for water pressure. You know, he spent his career working at a very large water company that services our town. And water pressure is strictly driven by electricity.
Had no idea.
You know, I just thought it, you know, it came through pipes. It got to our house.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
I know. The engineers in the audience are just
cringing.
Laughing at us.
Yeah,
I know. They're definitely cringing at us now.
Yeah. All right. Now I know. And now people who listen to the podcast will know. But I think about kids in middle school. Everybody has a phone. Everybody charges their phone and then it's just there. And because they're portable and we're not always clicking them into a charger. I mean, sometimes chargers are just little like circles on a table that you plop your phone down on and it charges automatically. You don't even think about it. And so you don't understand how connected electricity is to your lives. And I think I'm so grateful that I grew up, obviously we had electricity, but I grew up before phones were smartphones automatically and everybody had them. My generation is the last generation to have both. I think you just forget that electricity is such a huge part of our lives. The Wi-Fi, that everything is so unplugged, seemingly.
Yeah.
It's such an integral part of our lives.
It is. And he makes it very clear. He's very serious about the fact that it's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous. And to be, you know, cautious with it. How to put out an electrical fire. Let a professional handle it, which I'm very good at.
Letting a professional handle it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I stay in my lane.
Yeah. I have a fire extinguisher under my sink in my apartment now. Should I practice on like an actual...
What you've said is you have a fire extinguisher.
I do.
That means nothing right now.
I know.
What it means is, to me, it's kind of like you have a spare tire, but can you put it on the car?
Right, right. But once you pull the pin, you got to use it.
Can you pull the pin?
I don't...
Do you know how to pull that pin?
Yes, because I looked it up right after this whole fiasco happened.
Oh.
But...
Okay.
I can't practice on an actual fire extinguisher, right? Because once you pull it, you got to use it.
You know, I don't even know that. I don't even know. I thought it didn't start until you squeezed it.
Like you could put the pin back in.
That's my.
Okay, we're useless.
Yes, that's my cursory thought there. But
I take full accountability for starting that fire. But look who I came from. What am I going to learn?
Well, come on. You know, there's other talents I have.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that was a great episode on electricity. Learned a lot. And I have some other things to Google.
Right. And I deeply admire the Glenn Bickford.
Yeah, me too. All right, Dad. Love you.
Love you.
Podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Incorporated is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.